Support for the Capital Connection comes from
United University Professions, representing 37,000 academic and professional employees at SUNY campuses and teaching hospitals across New York State. Frederick E. Cole, President, UUPinfo.org.
And New York State United Teachers, representing professionals in education and healthcare, online at nysut.org.
Welcome to the Capital Connection. I'm Alan Chartok. Joining us today is Joe Pinion, the Republican candidate for U.S. Senate, who is challenging Democrat Chuck Schumer. Joe Pinion, welcome. Delighted to have you with us.
Thank you so much for having me. Glad to join you guys.
Okay, first of all, you are running against a guy who is formidable. I mean, after all, he's the majority leader of the United States Senate. What made you do it?
Look, I think for me, democracy in America is about having the needs of the people met and allowing the voices of the people to be heard. And the notion that we would allow one person to effectively sit in D.C. Unencumbered by our needs effectively makes no sense. And so when you look at the state of New York, the 19 million and shrinking, still call this state home because 1 million of our friends and neighbors have fled due to the fact that the opportunity they deserve no longer lives here. I thought that we needed to have an honest reckoning and have a conversation about the untold story of New York, a New York where Rochester, New York has more murder per capita than Chicago, Illinois, a New York where Syracuse, New York has a higher child poverty per capita than any other place in the United States of America, New York, where 60% of our children do not read at a proficient level, New York City, where we have public schools more segregated today than the height of Jim Crow. And all of these things are things that have occurred over the 24 years that Charles Ellis Schumer has been down in D.C. in the United States Senate, the 42 years he has spent down in D.C., the 48 years he has been in government. I'm not here to say that he is a bad man, but when good people stand idly by while the American people get hurt, while the Empire State of New York starts to decline, bad things happen. We are living through these abnormal conditions. The shootings, the crime, you name it. And so I thought, if not now, when, to give the people a chance to have a real choice. And I think so far, the response has been quite positive.
So, Joe Pinion, can you win this thing?
No, absolutely. And I think, again, this notion where everyone starts every question by saying, can you win? This can't be won. It effectively thwarts our democracy and allows for the type of one-party rule, allows for the monopoly of ideas that we know are not working. I don't care if you're left of Bernie Sanders or right of Donald Trump. Chuck Schumer's fingerprints are on everything that have gone wrong in our politics today. Whether you're talking about the wealth inequality, who do you think it was that allowed for the banks to get bigger after we had the last recession, after we had the last financial collapse? It was a man named Charles Ellis Schumer. He is the one who gets the most amount of campaign donations from the hedge funds, from the commercial banks, from Wall Street. He is the number one recipient. It's not even close. It's this weird conundrum we find ourselves in, where he has been speaking out of both sides of his mouth for the last 24 years. And so everyone believes he is an ally, and all the people that they believe he is allied against also believe that he is an ally, because he tells people what they want to hear when they need to hear it in order to hold on to power. And so, yes, we know that his approval rating as we stand here today is at 31% approval with independents. His approval rating overall with the people that call New York State home is at 48%. The majority of New Yorkers want somebody else. The only reason why the majority of New Yorkers have not already decided to support our campaign is because we effectively have a media blackout that prevents us from getting the word out there in a robust fashion, because we have a mainstream media that is complicit. I mean, we just had the report that came out the other day, one of the editors from the New York Times effectively saying in no uncertain terms that the New York Times was allowing Chuck Schumer to approve and veto op-eds written by Republicans. That should be front page news on every newspaper. It should be a scourge. People should have already resigned, but no one cares, because this is what's happened to New York State, where Chuck Schumer has become a professional hostage taker. He holds public opinion hostage. He takes our dreams. He holds them hostage. He goes to black mothers who are dealing with the fact that one out of three black children live in poverty in this state. Three out of five black children in the Bronx live in poverty. And he says that doesn't matter. You don't get to raise issues about that because there is a boogeyman in the shadows called the white supremacist, and I am the only one who can protect you from them. And so, of course, the needs of black communities get pushed to the side. The needs of the mother who's concerned about the fact that her children attend schools that are crumbling, falling apart. My hometown of Yonkers, the average age of the school buildings are 75 years old. That is not just a problem with giving our children the tools they need to learn. It's also a security threat, because we know that we have the scourge of school shootings out there. I tell you right now, buildings that are built in the 1800s that don't have 21st century mechanisms to protect our children are just as responsible for the fact that children are being shot as they are the guns. So these are the issues that we have to deal with. The fact that we have rot at the core of our American institutions, because the people we have entrusted for decades, Chuck Schumer has been in D.C. longer than I've been alive on this earth, 42 years. I just turned 39 this week. So we need a change. We need it now. And if you're unhappy with the world as it is today, you cannot continue to vote for the architects who built it. Chuck Schumer built this world. He is responsible for the pain that we are experiencing. And all of the slogans that he brings home with the pieces of paper that don't actually improve your life, we have to recognize that that is not a plan, it's a con, and we can all end that con together on November 8th of this year.
Okay. Now, let me ask you about you. You know, people who are listening to this, we're telling them that you're the U.S. Senate Republican candidate against Schumer. So we want to know about you. Who are you? Were you born in Yonkers? I know Yonkers pretty well. I used to have a girlfriend up there. Which side of Yonkers and like that?
Look, I'm from Yonkers, born and raised. As I say, Yonkers, city of hills, nothing on the level, but a beautiful place to raise a family. Yonkers grows strong people, as we say. But yeah, I'm one of the 1 million babies at Lawrence Hospital. So fortunate to grow up in a community that had a mix of people of all walks of life. Went to Horace Mann in Riverdale, and then was fortunate enough I was recruited to play football at Colgate University, Go Gate. And so that was certainly an opportunity that helped in my trajectory in life. Went back to New York, began working in nonprofit healthcare. Specifically, I was the youth development director for a nonprofit. We're providing bridge grant loans or bridge grants to at-risk youth who just need a little bit of extra help to go off to college. And so we found that by giving targeted grants anywhere from about $1,500 up to $8,000, we were able to help children stay enrolled over a four-year period more consistently, able to help them choose their first-choice school on a more regular basis. And that decision to be able to go away to an Ithaca college, to be able to go to a SUNY Albany versus staying home and going to a CUNY, CUNYs can provide wonderful opportunities, but for some children, being able to escape their local community was a matter of life and death. And so we were able to help children materially impact and improve their life outcomes in that first 4 to 6 years coming out of their college experience. And so I think for me, it was a bird's eye view working in nonprofit healthcare. My mother was the founder of one of the earliest federally qualified health centers in New York State. And so I've seen up close and personal the importance of having government work well. The people that come through the doors at federally qualified health centers, often they're the people who are the recipients of the neglect from government when government fails to work efficiently on behalf of the people. So I've seen government work. I've seen it not work. And beyond that, obviously, I was able to pivot. I got into journalism. I was always politically engaged. And so ended up starting to work on campaigns across New York State and across the country. From there, was able to start doing political commentary on Fox News, Fox Business, CNN, and eventually had my own show on Newsmax.
Now, you're black, right?
Yeah, I am black. Black the day I was born will be black the day I die. Yes. But, My mother was born in Jamaica, raised in London, and then came to America for university. My father was born in New Orleans, Louisiana, and then obviously joined the Army and was stationed in New York. That's how he met my mother. And so I say, look, at the end of the day, I don't think we choose the moments they choose us. I had no bucket list of running for U.S. Senate in 2022. But here I stand, you know, the Republican nominee for U.S. Senate. I'm Joseph Pinion III. My father was born in this country. His father before him was born in this country. I'm the first Joseph Pinion that was born with all of my rights. I'm the first black man ever nominated for U.S. Senate in the history of New York State by either party, be it Republican or Democrat. So I take that as no simple task. It is a humbling experience. But at the end of the day, the pain that people are experiencing across New York State, it is not defined by racial lines. It knows no color. It knows no creed. Yes, we can talk about the poverty for one out of three black children across the state. But in Rochester, New York, 58% of all the children of all colors and all creeds are living in poverty. The vast majority of families all across New York State, particularly the rural enclaves that are dealing with wealth inequality, that are trapped in the throes of poverty, they are the rainbow of this world, the United Nations of pain and despair that we have right here within the borders of New York State. And so even if you look at what happens in Albany, I was in Albany yesterday meeting with some people locally. And I mean, it's heartbreaking when you look at the people who are closest in proximity to power, who are forced to live in some ways with the worst of the worst. I mean, you can just see the despair driving up and down Broadway, going through the Capitol. It is omnipresent, and yet no one is doing much to deal with it. So for me, the fish rots from the head. The most powerful politician in our state, absent the photo ops that he takes in all 62 counties, barely lives in the state. That's not my opinion. You can just talk to Congresswoman Carolyn Maloney, who is running in a primary right now, who said as much about a member of her own party, Charles Ellis Schumer. So I think the facts on this race are quite clear. That Charles Schumer may be a nice man, but he's been down in D.C. for far too long. The needs of the New York people have not been met. And no matter how many proclamations he wants to point to talk about money coming back to New York to benefit us, if all he did benefited New Yorkers so much, New Yorkers wouldn't have any problems. And I think when people look at their own bank account, when they sit around their own kitchen table, when they quietly contemplate what's happening on a day-to-day basis when no one's around, they recognize that things aren't going well. And the notion that he is not responsible for that defies logic, defies reason, and defies any normal standard for what we should expect from the people who we bequeath the power to change our lives.
You're listening to Joe Pinion, the Republican candidate for U.S. Senate. He's challenging Democrat Chuck Schumer. Joe Pinion, let's get on with this. Do you think you'll win?
I do believe I win. Look, at the end of the day, I'm not a prognosticator. But I do know that I believe the Lord placed it on my heart to run for U.S. Senate, and I didn't run for U.S. Senate to finish second in a two-man race. You know, as I told you, this race will be determined by people. People show up and vote, and they vote for who they want to vote. I assume that people go to the vote in good faith. It is the most sacred thing perhaps we have to offer, our vote, in support for somebody who we are trusting to go down to D.C. and carry our hopes, our dreams, and our passions in their heart. And so, yes, I believe that we can win because I believe that the campaign that we are running on, to talk about ending the scourge of poverty, to talk about saying that it is a crime against humanity that we're allowing children to walk out into the world not knowing how to read, that it's shame that we allowed people to defund our police departments and then watched the shootings go up 90% in places like New York City, homicide go up 30% in New York City, Rochester, New York having its most dangerous year on record after it passed Chicago as murder capital USA, and no one is doing anything about this. And it's Chuck Schumer whose silence on this issue has allowed for this to become so prevalent. And so these are the stakes for people. For me and my family, look, I could sit here and talk about why I ran, whether we're talking about $2 trillion of failed nation building that fell apart in Afghanistan in a disgraceful manner, whether we're talking about the southern border where we have people on the left like Chuck Schumer, celebrating, calling it the new Ellis Island. Meanwhile, it has become an island of doom and despair because the leading cause of death for everyone in America aged 18 to 45 now is fentanyl overdoses. Fentanyl, which is not made in America, is a direct result of Chinese cartels and Mexican cartels that have teamed up to flood Main Street USA with enough fentanyl to kill every man, woman, and child that calls this nation home. And the ripple effects for that are endless. And just in Chautauqua County, just a few weeks ago, I was up there talking to individuals about the volunteer firefighters who went into a building in that county to put out the flames and came out and started having difficulty breathing, dropping to the lawn because of fentanyl intoxication. So there are unintended consequences that are crippling people all across this country. And we are focused in this race on letting people know they have a chance to have a choice, that this is not left versus right, but right versus wrong. And Chuck Schumer has been too wrong for too long on too many issues that are leaving people across New York feeling as if they have to flee their home in order to live their best American existence. And call me crazy, I don't think that should be the case. I think people should be able to pursue their American dreams vigorously right here in the state of New York. And I think that all we have to do is get the word out there and let people know that, no, I am not a boogeyman. I'm not an extremist. I'm not a crazy person. I'm just someone who thinks that New Yorkers are receiving less than they deserve. And if they think that they're not receiving less than they deserve, then yes, of course, go vote for Chuck Schumer. But the numbers are in, and the numbers say that most New Yorkers across political lines believe that the job has not gotten done and believe that perhaps it's time, after 42 years, to give somebody else a chance to deliver results for the people that call this state home.
So, Joe Pinion, all very interesting. Are you what we could call a Trumper? In other words, are you a follower as a Republican of Donald Trump?
Well, look, let's be very clear. I don't know what a follower is. I'm a follower of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I'm a Republican since I was a young person. The cocktail party version is when George H.W. Bush started quoting the three blind mice when he accepted the nomination for the Republican Party back in the 80s. So that's when I guess officially became a Republican. At the end of the day, President Trump was the 45th president of these United States. I believe that we got 4 years of consequential governance. And at the end of the day, he's not on the ballot. Chuck Schumer is. And unfortunately for Chuck Schumer, he's not running against Donald Trump. He's not running against Mitch McConnell. He's not running against any of the people that he would likely try to morph my face into. He's running against Joe Pinion, a 39-year-old from Yonkers, New York, that has allowed his hometown fall apart because of government neglect, has watched people in his own family been abused because of government neglect, and now wants to make sure that the neglect that is choking this state does not end up destroying a state that has always been at the pinnacle of everything. I believe that President Trump did some great things. I think that we have to have an America first message that prioritizes the needs of the American people, that lets people know that what are you talking about, what happened over in Ukraine, that is a direct result of political incompetence ushered in by people like Chuck Schumer, who prevented us from having preemptive sanctions to make sure that people like Vladimir Putin would not run roughshod across the countryside, that the breadcrumbs to that invasion in Ukraine go all the way back to May of 2021, where we had Russians that hacked our fuel supply, the Colonial Pipeline hack that no one talks about, where 45% of the fuel to the eastern seaboard was shut down. Chuck Schumer said nothing, nor did he do anything. That same month, we had a JBS beef hack where Chuck Schumer said nothing and did nothing as one-fifth of the beef supply of this nation was compromised. And so all of the signs that Vladimir Putin was getting ready to upset the world were there. These are things that I do not believe would have happened if President Trump was still in office. But at the end of the day...
Wait a second. Wasn't Trump, Joe Pinion, a fierce supporter or friend of Vladimir Putin?
I don't believe Donald Trump is a friend of Vladimir Putin any more than I believe that Joe Biden is a senile old man. What I believe is that at the end of the day, presidents have a responsibility to talk to leaders around the world and find ways to nudge them towards outcomes that are beneficial to the United States of America. And in my humble opinion, the scourge of what we have seen with Vladimir Putin today would not have occurred under the previous administration. But that notwithstanding, I am not here to make the case against Joe Biden. I'm here to make the case as to why the person who represents us in the United States Senate, the Senate Majority Leader for the nation, who also happens to be the senior senator for this state, has in many ways been derelict in his duty, namely when he quite literally prevented the vote that would have levied the financial sanctions preemptively against Vladimir Putin and Russia to let him know that were he to roll the tanks across the border.
We only have 8 minutes left, and if you don't let me ask some follow-up questions, it ain't going to happen. So I want to ask some very specific questions. Do you think that Joe Biden won the 2020 election?
Yeah, of course Joe Biden won. He won the election. He's the president of the United States.
But Trump didn't think so.
Again, respectfully, you're not talking to Donald Trump. You're talking to Joe Pinion. And I think for me, this is part of the problem that we have in our politics, that every time we end up having these interviews, it's what is about this, what about that? I'm here to talk about the 19 million people in New York who don't get what they deserve. I'm here to talk about the fact that Chuck Schumer is largely responsible for them not getting what they deserve.
But is it the Republican Party who will give them what they deserve? I mean, after all, a lot of people... Go ahead.
Yes, I mean, to be clear, yes, I'm a Republican. I'm proud to be a Republican. I've been a Republican my entire life. But I'm not here to be a rubber stamp for the Republican Party. I am here to be a constant source of trust for the people I am asking to make me their United States Senator.
Okay, fair enough. Let me interrupt. Do you want to see Trump run for president in 2024, something he has said that he's going to do?
Look, I don't know what President Trump is going to do.
Are you going to support him or not?
No one knows what he's going to do. I don't know what he's going to do. I think there are a lot of people who are talking about running. There's Ron DeSantis who's talking about running as well. I think the governor's done a tremendous job down in Florida. And so, again, I think for me, if there's somebody whose litmus test for what the United States senator is going to be, what they're going to do, is what a person who was the 45th president of the United States is potentially going to do 2 years from now. Let me be quite clear. Whether you're talking about the environmental issues that we're talking about across this country, with the issue of the fact that we have too much pollution, we're not holding the polluters accountable, whether you're talking about the fact that we have poverty that is run amok across this state, whether you're talking about the fact that our children are getting less than they deserve, none of that has any time to wait. We can't wait 2 years to deal with them. We have to deal with them right now. And the person who's on the ballot right now is Chuck Schumer. So, you know, at the end of the day, we should be talking about the fact that we have seen flight out of this state because Chuck Schumer has not allowed opportunity to live here.
Now, you said that before, so let me go on to some other questions. Guns. Do you support any limits on gun ownership?
I support us passing laws that save lives. I do not support politicians who use dead children as a prop to make sure they can hold on to power. You look at what happened in Uvalde, it is tragic. All the way back to Columbine, it is tragic. And we know how to save children because we know how to protect what we value. And unfortunately, in America, what we value is power and wealth.
Okay.
And the reason that children in Uvalde were killed in many ways, has very little to do with the guns and everything to do with the fact that they are not the children of wealth and power.
Should teachers have guns?
This is not about teachers having guns. Simply rebuilding the schools and they're by themselves would, again, eliminate close to 90% of the threats that allow the school shootings to occur. So, no, this is not about arming America's teachers. This is about repairing America's crumbling infrastructure that has left our children vulnerable in the classroom, has left our families vulnerable on the roadways, and left Americans vulnerable everywhere in between.
Joe Pinion, I want to get to a whole bunch of questions, and you're very articulate, and I admire that, but I want to ask you some very specific questions. So, would you have voted for the Inflation Reduction Act?
The Inflation Reduction Act is a plan to reduce inflation in name only. It is really an inflation explosion act.
So it's a no.
No person in their that no person in their right mind votes to raise taxes on everyone making over $20,000 in a recession. No person prints billions of dollars after we printed trillions of dollars trying to curb inflation.
Okay.
And no person in their right mind spends $80 billion on 87,000 IRS agents if their intent is truly to actually go after people who are evading taxes at the highest level, because we all know the IRS audits working class people, poor people, and businesses that are small the most.
Are you going to debate your opponent?
That's a question you should ask Mr. Schumer. We're happy to have any number of debates. Again, the issue becomes when you allow the person who is the most powerful man in the government, you play duck and cover with his responsibilities here at home, bad things happen. Happy to debate Senator Schumer anytime, any place, anywhere.
Okay, you're down 21 points to Schumer right now in the latest Siena poll.
I don't necessarily agree with that. I think, again, whatever you say about the Siena College polls, they tend to over-index where the Democrats are. You have to look no further than the recent Republican primary for governor, where they had Andrew Giuliani beating Lee Zeldin by many, many points. And I come to find out that Lee Zeldin won that primary by over 15 points. So, look, at the end of the day, what that Siena College polls tells you is what I've told you, that Chuck Schumer is below 35% with independents, closer to 31% than he is to anywhere else consistently, that Chuck Schumer is at 48% overall with the electorate, and that Chuck Schumer, for the life of him, cannot really find over 50% of people that say they want him to be their senator. And so that poll tells you what I've told you. If there is an Achilles heel, not enough people know who I am. That's why I'm here talking to you. That's why I'm imploring the people in the media who say they care about our American institutions then to honor their obligation to our democracy and cover our campaign honestly, not with these knee-jerk issues, and not with the gotcha politics of what do you think about the three most polarizing issues in American politics, but what are your plans to deal with the 70% of issues that all Americans care about and recognize are impacting their lives. So that's what I think those numbers tell, that we have to get our name out there, but also they tell the real story of how Chuck Schumer's reign is getting long in the tooth, and the American people, specifically New Yorkers, are getting a little tired of it.
Does Schumer deserve some credit for the American Rescue Plan and the infrastructure package?
I don't particularly think that. What are we giving them credit for doing? Again, you have to remember, his first obligation is to the people of the state of New York. Those bills did not bring back, none of those bills, the current one or any of them, brought back the SALT deduction that we need here in New York, those caps that were put on previously that prevented homeowners all across this state from getting the access to the tax relief that they need. He is the most powerful man in D.C. He can't get homeowners in the middle class a tax break. So, no, I'm not going to give him credit for that. I'm not. Your United States senator has a job to do, and the job is to deliver for New Yorkers. If I thought he was delivering for New Yorkers, I wouldn't be in the race. And so, again, I'm grateful for the time to be here with you. But, again, we have to get serious about this issue and give people a chance to have a real choice. And they can go to JoePinion.com to help us get the word out.
Well, that's great. Our guest on the Capitol Connection has been Joe Pinion, the Republican candidate for U.S. Senate challenging Democrat Chuck Schumer. Hey, it was a great show. Really outspoken. I'm very appreciative. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.